Good morning, Sunday morning. Whether you're an art maker, an art breaker, art faker, or an art partaker, welcome all, because all, of course, are welcome to Homegrown, show about local art. I'm here with, well, I'm the one they call Clinton, and I'm here with the reason you got up, because she never lets you down, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Oh, good morning, Clinton.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for that.
No problem. How was Harlem?
Amazing.
Was it?
Yes.
Tell.
Well, it's so amazing, I'm still there.
Are you?
Yes, I'm not really here right now.
Is that the case?
Yes, I'm just a figment of your imagination. I'm that little voice in your head.
I have a much more pleasing imagination than I previously gave myself credit for.
I see. All right, nothing dirty now.
See? Why do you have to conflate the sexual with the dirty? Oh, that's right. I forgot. This is a Judeo-Christian Islamic culture with severe taboos against nudity and sex.
There you go. So I have no choice, really. It's sitting there, and, you know, I can't not open that door.
You're just a figment of my environment as well.
Yes. Yes, I am. Just out of curiosity, how am I dressed in your imagination?
You dress fabulously.
Wow, you didn't even take that bait, huh? Okay. All right, moving right along.
It's not that good of an imagination. I thought we kind of established that.
Yeah, but you're imagining me. Like, you should be better at imagining me.
I like the way you dress.
Normal.
What do you want from me? I enjoy your taste in clothing.
See, and I was thinking you were going to enjoy, like, not putting me in clothing. But whatever, you know.
Such are the things that happen on Sunday mornings. Got some people out there. Who knows? That might just be too much for them.
See, if they were listening in on a regular basis, they would be able to get this every Sunday morning.
Indeed. And they would have picked up that this is the type of things that they can expect, which is why we have our parental advisory.
Yes, let's get to that.
Our parental advisory. For all you parentals out there who might require some advising, or at least maybe not even require, because I'm sure that you're really good at being parental. I'm sure that you're not experimental at being parental.
No.
But that you've got it down pat. So maybe you just appreciate a parental advisory. At some point in the show, we may say the word rebuttal.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Rebuttal.
Wow, you're getting very lawyery up on me here.
We'll try not to. It will be an attempt that is valiant, that is diligent, and that is straightforwardly righteous. But it could happen. So if you've got your kids around, which might happen since you're all parental, and you don't want them trying to stick their heads up there. Rebuttals.
Well, that's not how the word is used, Clinton.
Then you might want to, you might want to do something. I don't know. Give him Hop on Pop to read to One Fish, Two Fish, Red
no,
Fish,
no, no.
Donald Trump,
no,
whatever.
No, that's not right.
Whatever you want.
Just download Pokemon Go onto their phones.
And let them loose.
And let them loose. You will never see them again.
And let them loose. And then it's mimosa time.
Woo!
All right, maybe we should go to our first guest.
I think we should.
All right. Finally, we have someone from Lighthouse Studios. Woo!
Yeah.
You are very excited about that.
I am so excited about that. I can check off a box in my game of Charlottesville
Aww.
Artistic Bingo.
Aww. It's good to check things off your list.
Do you check things off in bingo? I don't think you necessarily do.
No, but, you know.
Don't you get, if you get three bingos in a row, isn't that tic-tac-toe?
Is that? Oh, my God. Okay, well, we'll go over your horrible, you know, game stuff later. How about can you introduce the guest, Clinton?
Our next guest comes to us from Lighthouse Studios in downtown Charlottesville. She is the lead mentor there. Welcome to Homegrown, Amanda Patterson.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming. How you doing today?
I'm really good. Yeah, it's been a really cool day.
Excellent. Please, if you would, tell those people who are living under an art-free rock.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What Lighthouse Studios is?
Lighthouse Studios is a nonprofit filmmaking studio for kids in between the ages of 8 and 18. And we teach everything from narrative to animation to documentary to PSAs, music videos, visual effects. Pretty much anything I want to teach, I can teach it. It's pretty fun.
Can I say how much I hate you guys?
I know, yeah.
How much I hate you guys.
I get that a lot, yeah.
Because you probably get it from this for the same reason. Because I'm old. I'm old, old, old. I remember when I was a kid, and I've said this on the show before. I remember when I was a kid, my friend, his parents got him like it was the big technical advance. It was a handheld camera that recorded to VHS tape.
Yeah, I remember.
And we're running around with this VHS tape. It's like the idea that kids today have a place to go where they can learn how to do all. And plus, it makes sense because it's such a media-rich and media-driven culture, and any culture and any teaching kids and teaching anybody how to manipulate information.
Yeah,
that's got to be essential.
It's amazing. It's really fun. I mean, I'm really jealous of them too because I didn't have this when I was growing up. I would have loved to have done a summer camp like this. And we get, hundreds of kids every. I've taught thousands of kids at this point, and all of them are really excited. They're all really good, actually, with the cameras and the computers and the applications, and they understand how movies are made now, and so they go home and they talk about wide shots and close-up shots, and you can tell that they're just growing and inspired all the time. It's fantastic.
If we are developing such a, so this is totally off topic, but if we are developing such a visually literate and such a filmically literate youth, how come American films are so bad?
I don't know.
No. That has nothing to do with the people making them being good or not. It's the people who give them money to have them widely distributed. That's why the bad ones keep coming out.
I can sense that this is a big watership down rabbit hole. With the general at the bottom ready to jump. If you don't get the watership down reference, go Google it. Just go to a library. Read a book.
Oh, my God. Okay, now you know what I deal with every day. Okay, so this is a summer program?
Right, so right now we're in documentary, so we have advanced documentary going on right now. We're actually making a documentary about Pokemon Go, which is really silly.
Seriously?
You are not.
We really are. We started it today, so we have three teams right now making three different kinds of documentaries about the Lee Park Memorial being, changing to Lee Park.
Yeah.
We're making a documentary about ballerinas that's very poetic and, mechanics with ballerinas. And then another one about the pie chest opening up. One of the teams finished early, so they had three extra days. And they're obsessed. I mean, my students are in high school, so they are obsessed with Pokemon Go. And now we just took it to the streets. We started finding people who were looking at their phones, walking around just like us. And it's really fun so far, yeah.
Yeah, I have a couple of people in my cast who are obsessed with it, and they're walking around the theater before the show starts, and one of them was she's following something, and she goes into the green room, and she's following, and all of a sudden I hear this really loud scream from the green room. I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong? She's like, no, I found one in John Allen's backpack. I'm like, oh, okay, you just need to go away from me right now.
It makes you look really silly.
Yeah, it's like, walk away from me right now.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. But next week we have advanced narrative, and so that's our most advanced workshop. It's 2 weeks long, and students we have four teams. We're going to be making four different films all in the course of 2 weeks. And they're short films, so anywhere between 5 and 8 minutes. And the students write the screenplays by themselves. They storyboard, they shot list, they shoot it, they edit it all in 2 weeks. We require a lot of actors, so we like casting actors, actual Charlottesville actors, to be in these short films, and I think it's a really cool opportunity for actors to have something for their reel, and you get a free lunch out of it. But also, it's really great for our students to actually get to direct people that are, skilled at this and want to learn more, and it's just really fun. It's really cool. A lot of these films go to festivals, and it's always such a huge help to, if you like Lighthouse Studio, or if you like acting, or if you like teaching students about things, it's just a really cool way to get involved.
Also, say that again. You need actors?
We do need actors. I think that if you are an actor in Charlottesville, or if you know an actor in Charlottesville, that you should email me your, at least, I mean, all I really need is a headshot, but if you also have a resume, that'd be cool. It's casting@lighthousestudio.org. That is the best way to get us your headshot. You could also find us on Facebook if you need to.
Well, and there's lunch involved, so Clinton's there.
I know. Good lunch, too.
You just had to give that out, didn't
no,
you?
No, I'm just saying, every single...
All of my secrets. Just
every single meeting I've ever had with Clinton about anything has been over a meal.
Meals are important. They're
they
a social
important.
Thing.
You yes. need to live. Yes, yes, of course.
Kitchen's the heart of the house. What do you want from me? I didn't pack on these pounds by having jogging dates with people.
Oh my God! Yeah, please don't start doing that because we will never see each other.
We could do that. Leslie, I'm going to go hike up a mountain. Do you want to come with me?
No, I do not. I'm not going. I can't go running. I'd end up with two black eyes. Are you
I've
crazy?
Seen you with two black guys along. Need the rim shot. So need the rim shot. So, advanced narrative. So, what is it? So, unpack that. What is the advanced narrative workshop dealing with in terms of advanced narratives?
So the students kind of meet each other on the first day. We go over, we watch a lot of films. So we go over the techniques of what it takes to make a film. We talk about different kinds of shots. We talk about interesting characters, story arc. Then the students start writing and coming up with genres and kind of like what their story is going to be. Then they cast. Then they find locations. Then they learn about the equipment. They learn about camera. They learn about audio. They learn about slate, all that fancy stuff. How to direct, how to, you know, work with actors, how to work with each other. Then they come back and they edit it all, and it's and then we screen it. I mean, on the last day.
And these are films that they're writing themselves.
They write a completely original films. Yeah.
Wow. And what time range are we talking about? How long is this?
So it's technically 10 days, from 9 to 3 every day. Yeah, with a lunch break in between.
Damn.
I know. I work really fast, so yeah, it's fun.
Excellent. How long has Lighthouse been doing this?
Lighthouse has been around since 1991, actually. I've been at Lighthouse for 2 years, and it's grown a lot since I've been here. They really started growing about a year before I got here. And then, I mean, every year, it's just we're teaching more and more students, more and more workshops. It's just, it's a monster now, which is cool. It's really good. I'm really busy. Yeah.
Good. So is there... It sounds like a lot of the workshop is focused on technical stuff, which is really good. How to actually make the films. Is there an aspect of the workshop that looks at the artistic side of making films, like talking about how to tell a story filmically or different styles of filmic narrative?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about characters and character flaws. We talk about how character backgrounds, kind of how we can, condense it into a short film. A lot of students come in thinking that they're going to make like this feature that is going to like have all of these twists and turns. And I'm like, you got to like make that short. You only have 2 weeks. We are making a no budget film here. So you got to remind them every once in a while, like to kind of like hone it in a little bit. But they always end up making something that they're proud of. A lot of these things go to festivals, and that's kind of how we get our name out. I'm really in the business of making kids happy and making sure that they have fun and that they're learning in a like fun, safe environment. And that's that's really what I like to do. So it's fun.
So cool. It's nice that you mentioned festivals because it's something that I've wondered about with Lighthouse because I'm a theater person mostly. So I'll walk into Live Arts every once in a while and I'll look around and say, what the heck is Lighthouse doing? Yeah. Like how can someone who's in the community, I mean, are there opportunities for people in the community to see what Lighthouse is working on? Do you guys have showings? I mean...
Yeah. So every time that we have a workshop, we always have a screening afterwards, and it's open to the public. We always kind of like mention that you can come. There's free popcorn. You kind of just get to sit and see these films, and then there's always a Q&A afterwards. So, I mean, that's how it works, is you got these 10 days, and on the 10th day at 2:30, we have a screening.
Audience.
Yes, and it's great. I mean, it's really fun, and like the more people there to see the films, the more proud the students are that, I mean, we're showing something at Vinegar Hill, and parents come and friends come and for documentary we have a lot of the people who were interviewed come. They get to see themselves and it's horrifying, but I mean it's really fun. I mean it's great. So yeah.
Yeah, I imagine that would be horrifying in a lot of ways in terms of the documentary workshop, because, you know, one, it's them seeing themselves, but also it's them seeing what you've done to what they've done. Is there ever any like pushback against when documentary subjects see how what they have given has been edited and presented? And
yeah, well, I mean, documentary is my background, so there's a lot of trust with making a documentary film. You can't just ask somebody to give their opinion and then warp it around to make it look, you know, more negative or more positive depending on what you want in your film. You got to be kind of sneaky when you're making a documentary film, but you also really need to make sure that everything is, you know, justified and, you know, truthful. And that's something I really teach my documentary students, because they come in thinking that they're going to work with a script somehow and they're going to like turn things around and they want to make something really compelling. But I mean, that's not always the way it ends up. It's sometimes you just make a little story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we've gotten a lot of phone calls about the Lee Parks documentary specifically, because it is such a big issue. I mean, it's not just about this sculpture coming down. It's a huge race issue, and a lot of people have really strong opinions about it. Some people are on the fence. And so we've had some calls being like, could you actually not use my interview? And they've had these second thoughts where they're like, you know what, actually, I don't want to go on record saying I want this thing up.
Right. So, right. Cause you know, yeah. It's one thing. Mm-hmm. It's one thing if you're, cause we're going to interview, we're going to talk to Ty Cooper, mm-hmm. about a documentary that he's doing, and he's going all over the place for this. So it's one thing to have a team come in from somewhere else to get your interview and then take that footage and have it go somewhere else. It's another thing to have a story set up in your town,
mm-hmm.
and in a small town.
Where everybody knows what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. It's crazy. Well, we were doing a lot of man on street type of interviews. Mm-hmm. So we'd go on the downtown mall and say, do you know about the Lee statue? And someone would they'd be like, yeah, of course. It was really rare that we'd get someone being like, what are you talking about? And, or, I mean, unless they were lying. So maybe they don't want to talk to us. Yeah. They're scared of us. That's what's going on.
That's interesting.
My students are very.
You know,
scary.
we reached out to this very show reached out to City Hall.
Really?
To have somebody come on, and they were too scared.
It was a big no.
They were too scared.
I'm not surprised.
Well, we don't know if they were too scared. They just didn't answer us. We got ghosted. But you know, we wanted to talk about not only the racial part of it, but we also wanted to talk about the artistic side of it. Like, okay, this an artist created this,
and it's
been up for a long time, and you know, so how does that artist how are you serving the artist by simply taking it down?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's got to be some other way to of course be sensitive and of course try and tell the truth about the history without, you know, denigrating an artist that spent a lot of time and energy putting something together.
Well, that's a big argument that a lot of people are saying for keeping it up. They say that it is a piece of artwork, it's a sculpture, and it is depicting something that happened in history, and that's the reason it should stay. I mean, a lot of people think that getting rid of it would almost say that the Civil War never happened, but a lot of people are also saying that keeping it up is almost like saying like all of the white Charlottesvillians are in denial that that we lost the war. I don't know. It's really strange, and I don't feel that way. And my opinion keeps changing back and forth every time someone brings up a good argument. And I don't know. It's a crazy one. It's a really interesting documentary that they're making, and the students are kind of flip flopping their ideas too, which is really, really cool to watch, actually.
So, like, eventually the documentary is going to have to find a focus.
Right, yeah.
Right, and that's got to be one of the big... I mean, have you talked to them about it?
Because
that's
got to
be
focus,
the big challenge.
Yeah, it is. I mean, well, so they're making a reflexive documentary, which is Michael Moore style, where you see the filmmaker making the film, talking about how hard the film is to make, and they're getting a lot of no's from people saying that they don't want to be interviewed. And so
did they ever think of like, so we'll blur out your blur out your face, we'll audio pitch your voice.
I mean,
we'll put
sometimes
little,
you're
little
desperate
Mickey
enough.
Mouse ears over here.
I was helping them interview the first day, and I was definitely trying to coerce everybody into just being like, no, it's just going to take 30 seconds, I promise. And like, no, we can like totally warp your voice. I mean, like, do you have something to say? Do you have an opinion? Yeah, people are afraid to kind of voice their opinion about this one, which isn't surprising. That's not surprising.
Well, I mean, it's not surprising, but it's also, I mean, that's the problem. That's why we have the problem, because no one is voicing their opinion. There has to be a conversation.
Right.
The uncomfortable conversation needs to happen so that this tension between, inside our community can be solved.
Oh, I'll tell you my opinion. I have no problem. I will tell you.
What's your opinion?
Please tell me.
My opinion is...
This is Daniel Neal.
And I'm Ryan Sheehy.
We're from the 2016 production of Nice Work If You Can Get It at Live Arts.
And you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
Show about local art. And if you're just joining us, then you're coming in our wonderful talk with Amanda Patterson, the lead mentor from Lighthouse Studios. Wait, that's not an opinion. That's all fact.
Right.
That was all fact.
And completely, like, off topic.
I'm an off topic
factual
guy.
No, but it's great to be introduced twice. Yeah. So thank you.
So with the narrative workshop coming up, I've worked with kids before on the theater side.
In terms of,
believe it or not, in moments of weakness.
Please tell me there's video of that somewhere.
But in terms of having them create their own work, it seems like a great idea and it's fun and it's cool. But you also run up against the fact that you've got to rely on what they bring to the table. And sometimes kids have a limited range of subjects and topics. So what type of films do they tend to make?
Well, so I've taught kids as young as 8, and I've taught kids as old as 18. And the 8-year-olds, it's not surprising that they really like cops and robbers. They really like superheroes. They really like, ninjas. And I always try and kind of like rein them in a little. I'm just like, think outside the box, think of something new, think of characters that have, you know, flaws and interests and like characters like you, and that always kind of helps. As far as the older kids, it is always different. So I'll have a team of like 4 high school girls, and they'll make a really freaky horror movie that I did not see coming. And sometimes I get rom-coms, sometimes we get zombie movies, sometimes we get I don't know, it's just completely different. Every time I never know what they're going to come up with. It's usually a little weird. Usually it ends on a like strange note. That's just the Lighthouse style, I think. We like twists and turns and kind of like a gotcha ending. Yeah, that's kind of the way it is for narrative. Animation is another one where they really go wild. And that's another... we have advanced animation coming up also. So I actually only have 4 more weeks.
You've got an advanced animation?
We do. That's right.
I know.
Clinton wants to take that class, I believe.
No, I want to lose 30 years of my life and then go back and take that class.
We actually have a couple open spots for advanced animation, which is really surprising because it's a really, really fun camp where it's also 2 weeks. So we've had, those are the ones that are really like festival heavy because a lot of festivals are looking for animations. It's just really fun to show them. And it's the same kind of thing where it's a storytelling thing, but you get to mess around with, frames per second, and you really get to, you have more time. You don't have to work with actors or anything. And you're not working with sound equipment, really. But, I mean, that's the heart of story, making sure that you know exactly what it is you want to say. You don't have any barriers at all. Like, I mean, if my narrative student said, we want to film on the moon, I'm like, good luck. I mean... What do you want me to do with that? But I mean, as far as animation goes, like, I mean, sky's the limit. You can do anything you want. And
okay, so Clinton is going to take like a little respite from his job. He's going to be in that class. I can tell you that. He's
looking, you're welcome to come.
Look I'm getting. Oh my goodness. But I can tell you really want to take it. Why don't you just go take the class?
Because it's for kids. Because it's for kids.
That is the mean problem.
Did you miss that point? That was... There you go.
Well, Amanda, do you card at the door? He could shave. If he shaved, he would look a lot younger.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I'm trying to help you out.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate that. That's very nice of you.
I get a lot of adults asking when we're going to have adult workshops. And...
And do you say when adults stop sucking?
I mean, the problem is they have jobs. The problem is they have kids. And
the problem is they're growing. The problem is they're grown. Sorry. It's a West Side Story reference. Look it up. Look it up.
A lot of people are going to be looking up stuff because of you. That's good.
Right.
Educate yourselves, guys.
Oh, my God.
Homegrown. It's the show that's best listened to when you've got a Wikipedia page in front of you.
It's required.
Oh, my.
All right. So, thank you so much.
Of course,
for
yeah.
coming on our show and talking about these programs that are coming up. Once again, if there are actors who are available or would like to make themselves available, would you give the information how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah. Email casting@lighthousestudio.org. You can also find us at Lighthouse Studio on Facebook. We have an Instagram page, everything like that. And there will be more contact, casting kind of contact in the future. If we need someone specific, check out our Facebook. If we need like an old man or, you know, a like 20-year-old person with crazy hair. It depends. But it would be really cool that we have a whole database of casting and just local actors that we contact all the time. And we're always trying to make it grow so that our students have a wider range of possibilities.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you ever need an aging and obsessively obscenely fat black guy? Right here. Right here.
Well, I've got your email.
There you go. Also, do you have a date for the screenings for this round?
Yeah, so documentary screening is this Friday at 2:30, and the narrative screening is 3 Fridays from now. I don't have a calendar in front of me right now, but
right.
Whatever, 2 weeks from now, plus a Friday is. And then again, the two weeks after that is animation, which, again, we're looking for maybe like 2 or 3 more students for that. So if you're interested in animation, find us.
Awesome. Age range?
That one is high school, so 14 to 18.
Amanda Patterson, Lighthouse Studios. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, guys.
Hi, this is Charlie Pasterfield.
Susan Munson.
And Stuart Holm.
From Mama Tried.
And you're listening to
Homegrown Radio on 94.7.
All right, it's about 30 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Time to talk about some of the artistic things that you can see in our artistic town this week. Today, it's the last day of the Moppintown Film Festival at Jefferson School of African American Heritage Center. I was there just yesterday seeing some films. Oh my gosh, you got to see these films. And if you don't know about this, go to SeaVillePodcast.com. Find out about the Moppintown Film Festival. We already interviewed the head of it and put it up there. Okay, currently running until August 28th, the American Shakespeare Center summer season. Still going strong. That's 12th Night and King Lear by Shakespeare. And the modern musical Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson, Worst President Ever. Currently running until July 18th, Cleopatra 7 at Guerrilla Theater. Woo-woo! And also performances at the aforementioned Jefferson School African American Heritage Center. Go online, find out. July 19th, the Virginia Film Festival's VFF at Violent Crown series presents Nuts, a feature-length documentary about Dr. John Romulus Brinkley. That's right, Dr. John Romulus Brinkley, an eccentric genius. You knew with a name like Dr. John Romulus Brinkley, he had to be an eccentric genius. Erstwhile snake oil salesman who built an empire in Depression-era America with a million-watt radio station and a dubious medical procedure. 7:30 p.m. at the Violent Crown. July 19th, Poetry and Fiction Night at Rapunzel's Coffee and Books in Lovingston. July 21st, Big Blue Door Improv Night at Seaville Coffee. July 22nd, Open Mic Night at Jefferson School. They're looking for singers, dancers, actors, and other performers. Any questions should be directed to Shelby Edwards at edwardssm3@vcu.edu. July 22nd, Charlottesville Tom Sox and the Virginia Film Festival present The Sandbox. It's the Seaville Weekly Ballpark at Charlottesville High School. Go check out that classic baseball classic. July 23rd to July 30th, it's South Pacific, All Some Enchanted Evening by Ashland Highland Opera at the Paramount Theater. And July 23rd to July 20th and July 30th, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, very different type of musical at UVA as part of the Heritage Theater Festival. And July 27th to August 7th,
It's A Midsummer Night's Dream at Guerrilla Theater. Coming around circle from Guerrilla to Guerrilla. And here are just some of the musical events that you can attend. July 20th, Cat and the Travelers at Dr. Ho's Humble Pie. Gina Sobel at Rapture. July 21st, the Michael Ellswick Gathering at Fellini's, followed by Lester Seal. Also on July 21st, the Weed Eaters at the Whiskey Jar. July 22nd, American Dumpster. Can you believe it? American Dumpster at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Haven't heard from them in a while. July 22nd, David Tewksbury at the Blue Mountain Brewery. And July 23rd, the Rhythm and Blues Festival at Weston Farm Vineyard and Winery. That's free, free Rhythm and Blues for you, I think, all day. So bring some dough to buy some wine and have a Rhythm and Blues good time. July 23rd, Mojo Pie at Albemarle Cider Works. William Walter at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. Super Vixen at World of Beer. Davis, Dunleavy and Friends at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Aaron and the Wildfire at the Whiskey Jar. July 24th, it's Austin Miller at the Garage on 1st Street between Market and Jefferson. And remember, on July 26th, speaking of the Garage, it's going to be Tuesday Tunesday featuring the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds at that self-same Garage right across from the embattled Lee Memorial or Lee Statue. Of course, every Sunday, it's Travis Elliott at Rapture. Every Monday, the Singer-Songwriter Night at the Local. Every Tuesday, the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, open mic night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. Bob Bonetta at Cafe Couture. The Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. And Jim Wave at Blue Moon Diner. Every Thursday is the Woolen Riders Revival, hosted by Will Thomas Reed and Brian Craddock at Firefly. And if you want to stop on by, head down to Miller's on the downtown mall for a jazz fantastic time every Thursday. It's the John Dearth Quintet at Miller's, because every once in a while you just got to come down to Dearth. And those are just some of the wonderful artistic events going on in our wonderful artistic town. If you are an artist and have an event that you want us to talk about, we want to talk about it. Contact us at our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/homegrownWPVC, or you can email us at our handy-dandy email address, homegrown947@gmail.com. Just a few minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is Homegrown. Stay tuned afterwards for the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Rick Moore.
Hey, this is Keith Morris, Keith Morris and the Crooked Numbers, and you're listening to 94.7 Homegrown Radio.
All right, our next guest on Homegrown, your show about local art, comes to us, a pair of guests. We've got some people from Live Arts. Woohoo!
Woo!
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Got with us director, actor, and now radio producer, Nathan Andereth. How's it going, Nathan?
Doing fine, Clinton. How you doing?
I'm well. And you have brought with you
Peter Gunter.
Hey, folks. It's good to be here.
Peter, so nice to have you here. How's it going, man?
It's going great, going great. We're here because we've just finished up the second episode of the Live Arts Radio Podcast.
Wait, Live Arts Radio Podcast?
That's right.
Now, I've heard of Live Arts, and I've heard of radios, and the kids out there have used the word podcast.
Oh, my goodness. The kids out there,
I assume.
We have a podcast of our own. What do you mean, the kids out there?
This is a podcast that we're on right now, actually.
I don't know what to do with you. I just can't.
So tell us about the Live Arts Radio Podcast.
Well, basically, Live Arts Radio Podcast is an outgrowth of the Playwrights Lab, which is a group, a workshop that's been running out of Live Arts for the last, 20 years or so. It's a group of very talented playwrights in the community that come together, workshop their work, improve it, sometimes perform it. And we paired them with a great recording studio out in Scottsville called the Ravensworth Studio. And it's pretty straightforward. What we do is we pick some of their scripts, some of their best material that's going to fit to a podcast format. We pull together some actors. We rehearse forever, put hundreds of hours into pre- and post-production, exhaust ourselves, bankrupt ourselves, and end up with about 10 to 12 minutes of decent tape.
You exhaust yourselves and then you end up. Wow, okay. Clinton, apparently we're doing it wrong.
I don't know what you're talking about. I am done after a show.
No, it's a lot of fun, but it's a very different format than your than an interview podcast or even an investigative podcast or journalism podcast like This American Life. This is something that is meticulously rehearsed, produced. We have a lot of background music. We have a lot of special effects and sound effects. Actually,
ooh, they get fancy.
We try to be fancy. We do.
So you're actually making radio plays.
Yeah.
How BBC of you.
Isn't it? It's this came out of basically, you know, the golden age of radio back in the 40s and 50s was mostly these kind of scripted radio plays. The whole family would gather around the radio each night to hear the next adventure of the Lone Ranger or, you know, George.
Or the Shadow.
Exactly. And it was exciting stuff. It was the biggest storytelling medium in the world. And it's kind of funny because now podcasts are exploding as a medium, but that specific style, the kind of scripted, rehearsed podcasts, you don't really find those.
Yeah, I mean, that's a question that I have. Do you think that there is room for that? Do you, or at least not, of course there's room for that, but do you think that there's going to be an audience for that? Because people, specifically because of what you're saying, we have, in terms of narrative entertainment, we have spent so much time away from that. That has become so much the realm of visual presentation, television, movies. Do you think that that Americans are ready to go back to an audio form of narrative entertainment?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the success of something. I mean, obviously, everyone brings up Serial as the first one. Serial was basically an incredibly elaborate procedural that hooked people with the incredibly interesting characters and storylines. It happened to be true, but, you know, people get caught up in it. And I think podcasts are sort of the perfect medium for our attention deficit disorder age, you know, where we have so many things we have to be doing all the time. And so if we can add a little voice in the background so we don't have to be alone with our thoughts at the same time, it's perfect. If that can be an interesting and engaging storyline put together and presented by talented actors...
We have a little bit of it left, I guess, with, well, not left anymore, I was going to say, with Garrison Keillor and Prairie Home Companion. You see what's sort of a left of the radio tradition. But, yeah, this is sort of a throwback in that sense.
Yeah, but still, even with Prairie Home Companion, which, of course, on its way out, yeah, in terms
exactly.
of what it was.
Thank God.
You know, that
like,
was...
What do you thank God I left Prairie Home? Well, you got a difference.
Oh, come on. Much love to Keillor. I will buy National Treasure, but the last couple of decades, he's become a very, very cranky old man. And some of the Lutheran jokes have been a little bit pointed.
Yeah, it gets a little old, but still.
Well, you find a lot of success with a podcast like Welcome to Night Vale, which is also fictional and that really catches people up in this expanding world and storyline. But that is usually mostly a monologue, and you find that similar things with Black Tapes or with Limetown, sorry. And those really catch people's attention. But this kind of very dramatic style is not something you see a lot of.
Lineville? Well, I'm not even familiar with any of those things. This is the old guy talking. I'm the writer. That's our director. So that's a creative difference here.
So, Peter, is this the first play of yours to be adapted for the radio?
It is. As far as I can remember, yes, absolutely. It's the
first one. What was that like?
It was a lot of fun. We had to alter the script, obviously, in some places where we had visual stuff going on stage. We had to find some kind of audio alternative. And so there was a fight scene, and, you know, we obviously couldn't choreograph or stage that.
Aww. So come on.
But we had a lot of fun.
You say you had sound effects. You didn't know a little... Oh,
oh yep. We absolutely did.
Oh, gotcha. Don't take this.
Don't break the studio.
So actually, that was one of the most fun parts because I think the fight, you know, because of the imagination, because you can do exactly what you did, can conjure up a lot more of a bigger fight in people's minds.
So what was your inspiration for writing this story, Peter?
My inspiration. Well, I think it came from a kind of conflict in my own past. I have fond memories of watching sitcoms like Gilligan's Island.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to stop you there because we got to give them the clip before we have you answer that question.
Okay.
So
all
the play in general, give them the name of the play.
It's called No Man is a Gilligan's Island.
All right, let's hear a clip.
You're such a fool. You think Mr. Howell doesn't know about you and Mrs. Howell.
Mrs. Howell? What do you mean?
She sneaks into your hut at night.
Listen, Gilligan, I love her. Please don't tell Mr. Howell.
Mr. Howell knows all about it.
What?
They have an arrangement. Mr. Howell gets Marianne and Ginger, and Mrs. Howell gets you. Everybody knows about your little affair. They've known about it for years.
No.
We can all hear you at night. Oh, Captain. Oh, Captain. Sail me away.
You stop that.
How do you stand it? I'll tell you how. You shut your eyes and pretend she's beautiful.
She is beautiful.
All she's done for the past 30 years is lay out by the lagoon and tan. She looks like an old shoe.
Stop it, Gilligan.
Wake up, Skipper. You had Ginger. Ginger, the movie star. Then Mr. Howell took everything and destroyed it. We're doomed. We're never getting off this island.
No Man is a Gilligan's Island by Peter Gunter. Peter, I throw the previous question back to you.
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
So, as you could tell by that clip, that this happened sometime later, say 30 years after the TV show happened. And so everyone's old. And so partly, again, I have a certain affection for memories of watching Gilligan's Island, but also a certain disdain for the whole genre, the kind of silliness of it. So it sort of came out of a conflict in myself. Trying to reconcile that. I guess conflict is the essence of drama. But when I started, I also wanted to deal with some sort of political situation, how the island was a microcosm of what's going on, you know, increasingly in this country where there's the division of wealth and so forth. And I sort of went along that angle, and that's a little bit in there, but it went from sort of a political thing to more of a, let's say, metaphysical thing.
Ah.
Absurd drama in that sense. So that's the, I guess, in a something of a nutshell, the inspiration.
Well, it sounds really fun.
Yeah, I was attracted to it because it is fun, but it's much, much darker than the original series. You know, Gilligan's Island is a story about a people who are in a desperate situation but never actually face any consequences. Nothing ever changes for them. And so this examines what happens to them after they've been stuck in that holding pattern for decades and actually have to really confront the reality of their lives in that situation. So it is very funny. It's also very, very dark.
Do you think that you're bringing up the existential underpinnings of Gilligan's Island, because that's when that's what I think about. I mean, these guys, it's sort of like No Exit, but with coconuts, with people drinking out of coconut drinks.
Yeah, that is sort of my thought was Gilligan's Island meets Waiting for Godot, sort of this situation. But yeah, the idea that they're never getting off the island. I think there was probably some. A show where they do actually get off the island, which I never saw.
Indeed. Not only was there a show where they got off the island, but they did three or four specials afterwards where they went back to the island, turned it into a resort.
Yep.
I missed all of that. So in my mind, they're still stuck there.
Dude, where was your due diligence?
Yeah.
Where was your writer's research on Gilligan's Island?
How old were they all when those shows started?
Don't want to answer that.
Marianne and Ginger are kind of...
We can take the true Gilligan's Island as the period that everyone remembered when they were stuck there. But, I mean, you're right. It really is an existentialist parody. And the connection with No Exit is actually quite apt, too, because later on in the plot, there develops a sort of magic realism as they use the structures of the sitcom themselves, and like the laugh track and the very artificially constructed joke structure, as a tool to manipulate one another and to manipulate reality.
Wow, you said that well. That's what I did, huh? No, that's I was sort of aware of playing with the structure of that and trying to explore it a little bit and take it apart, and that was the fun of it. And I hope that fun is conveyed in the radio show. And also, by the way, it's going to be produced live at Live Arts from August 18 to 21. So if you enjoy the podcast, come see the live show. It'll be presented along with a number of other works from the playwrights group at Live Arts. So,
will the live version be the original version, or will it be the adapted radio version?
It's funny. We did a workshop last summer, and so that was then came this podcast. So I developed it for the podcast, and so the live version is then sort of taking pieces from the original and from the development from the podcast. So it's kind of developed at each stage of the.
So it's an amalgam.
That's a good word. Yeah.
It's been really interesting.
Sorry, we like big words here.
I'm also directing the stage version of it, and it's just really amazing, much more than I would have thought, just how different it is directing for audio versus stage. I never really thought about just how much of an impact the blocking and the physicality has on the vocal expressions of the actors, but it's quite stunning. And but beginning to do a podcast was really rewarding because we could go in and during rehearsal, you know, we rehearsed for about 16 hours or so for this, we could go in and each line we could fine-tune and hit just the right point to find the arcs of character and energy and the comedic timing to really make it really just a crystal clear, you know, 10 minutes of tape.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's about 40 minutes, 45 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and this is Homegrown, a show about local art. If you're just tuning in, where have you been? Most of the show's gone.
I know, right?
Didn't
you set your alarm? You're supposed to be like up and ready for this.
Don't worry, though. I know we're being a little bit harsh. What you can do, go to SevoPodcast.com. In a few minutes, actually, an hour or so, you can pick up this.
See, this is what we do. See, I'm the mean mommy, right? And he's the daddy that lets
I was the bad daddy.
No,
and I'm the bad daddy.
No. I'm
the bad daddy.
You want to be the bad daddy? You can be my bad daddy.
Yeah. Stay tuned afterwards. Stay tuned afterwards, we're going to have, of course, the biggest bad daddy of all, Rick Moore, for the Sunday morning wake-up call. By the way, may I ask you a question, Leslie?
Of course.
And Eva, I'll throw it out to Nathan and to Peter as well. Rick Moore, host of the Sunday morning wake-up call. Do you know why when Rick Moore goes to the proctologist, a Ghostbuster has to go along with him?
No, I don't.
Why is that?
Well, that's because that when Rick Moore goes to the proctologist, they're all dealing with a Rick Moranis.
Jeez.
There you go.
I can't. Oh my God.
Yeah, Rick Moranis was an actor on Ghostbusters. Look it up.
No.
Look it up.
Oh my God.
I think that will be the worst joke ever on Homegrown. I'm calling it right now.
I am.
You were here for it.
No, have some ambition. You can top that. Come on, man.
No. I don't want him to top it, Nathan. don't do that, because he'll try.
I believe in you, Clinton.
So we're here with Nathan Andereth and Peter Gunter, director and playwright, respectively, of Gilligan. No Man is a Gilligan's Island, the latest in the Live Arts Radio series.
That's right.
How many have you done so far?
So far, it's only been two. We just got this started a couple months back, and so just each time, we're kind of reinventing the wheel. We have the wonderful assistance of Dan Gould, who's actually the producer of the Charlottesville podcast.
Shout out to Dan.
Yeah.
Because we love Dan.
That guy is fantastic.
He really is. He's the sweetest person.
The number of hours and work he's put into each one of these, the craftsmanship, the amount that I personally have learned from him, he's really a pretty remarkable guy.
And that's no joke, because I've listened to it, and I was not prepared for the production level, as you were talking about.
Yeah.
The sound effects, the music that comes underneath, it's really nice.
The music was composed by Corey Caprone. I think you probably know him as well.
We do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he and I worked a long time on that, and just, you know, composing the music, getting the themes, fitting it just right, all of that we had to come up with completely new. It's been done before, but not by us, and so it was a really interesting and exciting experience to dive into this.
So do listeners know where to find the podcast online?
SevoPodcast.com.
Exactly where you're listening to this podcast right now.
Exactly.
All right.
That's where everything is, right? Siebel Podcast. That's where everything is.
Exactly.
That's where you go
for everything.
The whole world.
The whole world is a Siebel Podcast.
That's where you go for everything.
And we our previous podcast called Love's a Racket, which was produced about 2-3 months ago, is also up there. And so I definitely encourage you guys to listen to that as well. It's also kind of a dark parody this time of sort of the upper class, over intellectualized love. It's about a man who's grown bored with his everyday life and starts a love affair with a tennis racket.
Awesome, awesome. So, Peter, you looking forward to another one of your players?
I'm sorry, you're just going to let that go?
I am.
He started a love affair with a tennis racket, and you're just
going
to...
Totally going right past
you're
it.
You're going to... Okay, all right.
Right past
it. Let's go. Clinton and I have actually worked together on a reading at Live Arts of another play of mine. It was a great experience working with Clinton, and I hope we can do that again one of these days.
Awesome, yeah.
Two directors in the room here.
Me too. Yeah. I was in one of your readings...
Clinton directed, but yes, indeed, Leslie was in a big part of one of the readings.
And Leslie just directed Cleopatra the 7th, 8th?
Yes, sir.
Oh, at Guerrilla Theater.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, cool.
That's showing this weekend, so there's three directors in the room, actually.
I know.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Very the combined egos are choking.
Right?
That's why it's hard to be a writer in this. You guys are writers, too. Though.
But that's why the spacing of people in this room is so visually, aesthetically pleasing. That's why that is. Nathan, what's the next one coming up? Do we know?
Next one, we're casting right now. I'm the executive producer. Lauren Gilroy is going to be the director. The play is titled The Dog That Cried, about a man who uses a stuffed dog left to him by his grandmother to take control of his relationship and his life.
All right. And do you have a date for that yet?
You know, these things, we always hope to wrap them up in about a month, but realistically, it's going to be about 6 weeks to 2 months.
Sounds good. Let us know when that is out. We will
absolutely
tell people. Live Arts Radio on SIVOPodcast.com. Nathan, Peter, thank you so much for coming on Homegrown.
Hey, my pleasure.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, everybody. Well, that's our show. We want to thank Nathan Andrus.
Wait a minute. That's it?
Yeah, that's
it. What about the weekly rant?
Well,
what about the weekly rant?
You know what? We had so much fun talking with everybody that we don't have time.
We did have fun. But there's what? There's no... I won't get a chance to shake my rebuttal.
Oh, my God. Please tell me you didn't just say that.
Shake my funky rebuttal.
Oh, my God. And he's making it worse. Okay, we want to thank Nathan and Amanda for coming to talk to us. Clinton's shaking something. Thank God I'm not looking at him.
Yeah.
But you guys, you have a great week, and we will see you next time here on Homegrown. Bye.